He says that he helps winners to win. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Saturday Brunch, Mr. Jesse McBarrow. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Rockers, once again.
How you going?
Man, I can't complain. Really, really good day. I'm channeling good energy today.
That is what we're talking
I'm
about.
Really excited.
And in preparation for you being here, I've been channeling that good music and good energy with positive motivation whole morning. That's what I've been giving them whole morning.
Nice.
Even by accident just now, I played a caller call and requested a song from the Mighty Sparrow called Unhappy Me.
Unhappy Me, wow.
That's the name of the song. And I said, oh gosh, boy, you hear me playing all this positive music and that's what you're going to ask for? And I played it because, you know, the customers are always right,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So I played the song and it turned out that it was a song about, yes, he was depressed and he is unhappy, but he's fighting through it fighting to come through the next end of it. And wow. I think that part of it is very, very inspiring. So
I have to listen to that song?
Yeah. Boy, if it's one thing I just do here is learn music.
Yeah. Especially when them requests come in, right?
Of course. And it's people who like, they had a record home, so
right,
they know exactly what they're asking for, with the proper name and everything. So good morning to all the Talk City listeners. But Jesse is here because he wrote a book. The book is called Ready, Mindset, Go. Jesse did not start off as an author.
I do.
Jesse was a songwriter.
Yes.
Jesse used to be called J-Wave.
Yes. Correct.
But wow. Jesse, tell me about your journey from music into writing, into motivation, into this life that you're living now.
Right. I'm happy that you asked because I don't get to share that story.
No, we had time. We had time.
And, so basically, well, as you know, I've studied music. I've been doing music for quite a long time. I started off as a keyboard. Well, I started off as a writer. So you got the sequence right, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I started off as a writer. That's the first talent that I discovered before sports, before all those other things that I was doing. Songwriting was one of my first discovered gifts.
Right.
Then, as I got into my early 20s, went to UTT, studied music, graduated as a keyboardist,
right,
as a pianist, and I graduated as an artist. So I matched the songwriting with me playing the piano, and I had some vocals. So I had some vocal talent as well there,
mm-hmm,
that I harnessed and explored. And so I launched out my career as J-Wave when I graduated from UTT, from the Artist Diploma in Music Performance.
Okay.
Right? So I had a nice sprint, you know, performing music. I had a lot of great opportunities. I connected with a lot of incredible people. I believe that me playing the piano and singing created a different niche for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was in that John Legend zone.
Yes, it put me in that zone.
Yeah.
A Rasta man, play the keyboard.
You check all the boxes.
Yeah, check all the boxes. So it was easy. So before I even launched as a career, I had an artist manager. I had a manager.
Right.
So things was looking up for me in that space because I had the package where, mm-hmm, that, you know, people were looking for at that time, or they wasn't looking for, but when they saw it, it's like, oh, I like this.
Not
I like
this
combination.
Yeah.
Right. And so I explored that for a while. Meanwhile, I was playing at my church, right? So I was a worship leader, a church musician,
mm-hmm,
right, for about 13 years, right? And that would have developed my skills as a musician as well.
Of course. You practice in every Sunday. You have a show every Sunday.
Yes. Basically, right? And in 2017, I decided, I just got this nudge. I felt like God said, Jesse, I want you to come to California. So I became a missionary, right?
Okay.
So that happened in 2017. So I became a missionary. I gave up music, as in the artist side of music, to do missionary work. So I moved to California.
You just ups and decide because God just tell you move to California?
Yes.
That's oddly specific, like go to California.
Yes. So that, it was not so random. So many years before that, I heard a calling towards California. I didn't even know where California was.
When you say hear calling, you mean like you're hearing the words in your head, or you're feeling the feeling of...
It's a combination of both. So when people travel to the States, and by that time I didn't travel to the States yet,
mm-hmm,
I'm like, where's California? Because I want to... Something is happening there. I'm feeling a pull to California.
Right.
And then there was a pastor in Sacramento, California, who was praying. this is the first time I'm telling this story publicly. He was praying and he heard my name come up, and it keep coming up and it keeps coming up. So he contacted my pastor in Trinidad, and he's like, I've been praying and Jesse's name keep coming up all the time. And I'm like, and then he's like, do you think Jesse wants to come to California? The next month he flew to Trinidad. And we had a meeting. And he's like, are you interested in becoming a missionary and coming to California?
What does it mean to be a missionary?
Well, being a missionary is how to describe it, is a life completely sold out to serving others. So it benefits you very little extrinsically. It's a very intrinsic experience. So when you travel in the world, and so I went to Philippines, I went to Mexico, it's not about you. You have completely surrendered to the service of others.
What's the difference between that and being a monk?
I guess there's a lot of similarities,
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I'm not too sure about the monks, so I can't speak to that. And I probably should not even try to speak into that.
But just to be clear, what religion are you following?
I'm a non-denominational, but I follow Christianity.
Christianity, okay, yeah. In general. All right, so that's the missionary work was for you. So you'd go out and you were spreading the word, or is it that you're just doing work for people?
I was still doing music, right. But yes, so I was serving in terms of what, because there's a lot of kids, so it's thousands. Again, this is the first time I'm actually sharing this publicly, so my mind is going all over the place which part of it to share. So I did serve a lot of kids and a lot of things that I can't even repeat. That since I came back to Trinidad, I've not been able to talk about it, because it was one of those experiences that just changed your whole perspective on everything, you know. So
you get to see kind of how other people live in a way that you wasn't prepared for.
Because the world is big.
Yeah.
The world is small, it's both, right? The world is big and small. And there are a lot of things that people are experiencing in different pockets of the world that it will break it to pieces. And I could see why a lot of people would avoid doing missionary work and will avoid going to those places, you know. But I went and it really transformed my life. So coming back to Trinidad now.
But how you managed to come back in the first place?
Well, a series of things. I can't get into it right now, but a series of things. I chose to come back to Trinidad, and I still had that missionary mindset. Like, you can't, once you experience it, you can't unexperience it.
Of course.
Right, so I came back and I saw the need to serve people even here in Trinidad as well too. So I'm still doing the music, mind you.
Right.
Pandemic happened. Ruckus, and I fully, I'm like, okay, this is happening here. Music scene shut down, no performances, no tours, no nothing.
Nothing.
I still put out an EP during 2020. I put out an EP, two music videos, all those different things. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to let it all out. 2021 happened, February 2021. I posted a video on TikTok, right, of me speaking about plants. So I had two plants next to each other. I repotted one, so I bought them at the same time. I don't know if you saw that video. I don't know if you saw
it. No, but you told me the story on TV. But yeah. Tell the people who listen and read the story too.
Yes. So some of y'all that are listening may have saw a video of this this guy with two plants on a table, right? I bought them at the same time. One was pretty normal, pretty average. The other one was fully blooming and blossoming. And I remember leaving home that morning and seeing the two plants there sitting next to each other. And when I bought them, they were the exact same thing. And the one that I repotted and put in a bigger pot, it like tripled the size of the one that was there. The thing about both of them was both of them are plants. You could see both of them are plants. It's the same plant. But just one was experiencing more greatness. You know, it was illuminating more. It was more attractive.
Yeah.
Just because of the environment that it was in. And so I did have, it was at least 49 seconds. It wasn't more than a minute. I'm like, this just environment. So I did what I do when I go in front of a camera, and that video went viral.
But is that the same thing that you would have done on your missionary work? You go and talk to people and try to inspire them?
I would have shared and stuff as well too. But mainly it was more on the sharing your faith type of experience.
Okay, it
wasn't necessarily mindset. So mindset coaching and personal development work would have started when I was like 20 years old.
Right.
So that is another element of my life that I hardly ever shared. Right, because I was a fitness trainer, so I got into the fitness industry.
Okay, and fitness, so you need the right mindset to be able to stay with the discipline of working out on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, as the case may be.
Correct. So my introduction and my experience in the fitness industry was not the same as other trainers. So as soon as I graduated, mm-hmm. mind you, I became a teacher. So I was teaching the professional certificates in personal training mm-hmm. and group exercise, right? And so I was teaching people much older than me. So at 20 years old, I was teaching people in the 50s and the 60s,
right?
And then I started to manage a fitness studio. And in that fitness studio, I would go in the early hours. So housewives will drop their kids.
Yes, and then they come and in come after.
So when you think it was all about fitness,
mm-hmm.
when we all huddle together, because sometimes it's 10 women.
Talking everything.
And so at 20 years old, I started to gain a lot of insight. And then I was reading a lot. I was really reading a lot of books. And mm-hmm. I was doing my own personal development stuff. I went to Bible college, all those different things, right? So I started to implement those things. And the next thing that really catapulted me into this space, into personal development and mindset coaching, is I got a job at the University of Trinidad and Tobago.
Right.
So I got into university in 2009. Right, and the students, again, it's not the same as public gyms.
Mm-hmm.
So they come into the gym to de-stress, to get through the day, to kill time, those different things.
Mm-hmm.
But these students are on their personal development journey as well too.
Of course.
So when they come to the gym, they will go to the treadmill and then sit down in my office, and for hours. So I would mentor hundreds of students.
Mm-hmm.
Right, even the president would come and say, "Jesse, I needed to inspire these students," and stuff like that.
Okay.
So underneath it all, I was doing coaching, I was doing mentorship on a massive way, because I was going to all the different campuses.
Okay.
So I was at the John D. campus, mm-hmm. I was at San Fernando Tech campus, I was on Current campus, on Point Lisa's campus, I was in O'Meara campus, and I meet in with hundreds of students on a daily basis.
And just to be clear on this time, the timeline of this happening was before the missionary work?
Before the missionary.
Okay. All right.
So all these things was happening simultaneously. So right. My day job was
UTT.
Fitness, was UTT.
Right.
Right? Coaching. Right? Right. And on evenings after that, I'm a musician.
Right.
So I'm a full-time.
Yeah.
I'm a full-time musician. So when I tell the story, people are like, when you get all the time to do all of this?
I understand. Don't worry.
Right? So yes.
Somebody in the industry, I understand.
Yes.
I understand.
So that happened. The missionary thing happened. My video started to go viral.
This is the planned video now.
This is the planned video.
Right. So the planned video started to go viral.
Hundreds of thousands. I had possibly about 100,000 shares
right
alone. It started to go viral on WhatsApp as well too, which was the weirdest experience for me, because you could see virality on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube,
yeah,
but there's a virality that happens on WhatsApp as well too,
and it's forwarded many times.
And so I knew it was going crazy when I keep getting the same messages over and over.
And you're getting back your own message.
I'm getting back my own messages. And people was getting messages from me, and I know him. Mm-hmm. So my videos was being shared in churches, in corporate spaces, in sports spaces and stuff like that. So it really did what it had to do. And then a second video did the same exact thing.
Okay.
Which was me on a boat talking about ships, right? Relationships, companionships. And then I said, ultimately, the ship that you don't want to neglect is worship, right? Is your relationship with God. That went viral.
Well, yeah, that sounds like poetry.
And it went. So again, is the songwriting?
Yeah.
Is the wordplay, everything coming together? Right, and this time I'm talking about mindset. It's not a music or anything like that. I'm talking about mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to share a lot of insights from what I learned over the 15 years of personal development.
Yeah.
I just started to share it online, and yeah, my career as a mindset coach literally just kicked off.
Just kicked off at that point. And what inspired you to say, all right, I'm going to put all my knowledge now into, or at least some of my knowledge, yeah, into a book format?
Ruckus, everything I'm seeing today is very divine. It's very divine. I wish there was like this, oh, this I was a good idea, saw this somewhere, yeah, but a lot of it happened intrinsically. So why my video is going viral, Ruckus? God said to me, delete all your social media apps.
Just over?
So my video is going viral, Ruckus.
Yeah.
And God told me, delete all your apps off of social media. So I did not even know how well the videos was doing after a while.
He didn't want it to mess with your ego. That is, yes, why.
Delete. So up to today, I still have no notifications on. So I reinstall it,
right,
because I'm a businesses, right? So I reinstall it,
right,
but I have no notifications on any of my social media apps, right?
Okay.
And I needed to write a book. That's what happened.
How you get a direct line? Because
that's a really
I have some things I need to really ask now, boy. I have some questions, man. I need to ask. So write a book.
Straight up, write a book. Mm-hmm. And Ruckus, in 90 days, the book was done.
Okay.
90 days. So I shut down everything. So this book that I have in my hand, 44,000 words, 200 pages,
mm-hmm,
it happened in 90 days. And since I wrote this book, I helped 5 people write 6 books.
You helped 5 people to write 6 books?
Yes.
How do you help them to write books?
Same technique that I would use. I use a technique called mind mapping. There's, mm-hmm, a lot of techniques that I use to help people to construct the book. Because a lot of people, and I said this before, a lot of people think that you have to write a book to become an author. But let me tell you this. You have to become an author to write a book.
It's the chicken or the egg, ladies and gentlemen.
You have to become an author. You have to embody the things that you need, the things, the characteristics of an author.
What do you need to be an author?
You have to have something to say, first of all.
Fair.
And if you have something to say, then you have something to write.
And if you have something, but some people can't really write. Like literacy is okay, a thing.
All right. Literacy. I digress. I digress. But it have writers. It, yeah, have people there for writing.
Right.
And the world is so connected right now that, you know, I didn't have to edit the book. I didn't, mm-hmm, have to do a lot of the formatting and stuff like that. I just needed to write. So yes, I have had the experience in writing, but I helped other people write books as well.
You're saying that in your book, you put in a Microsoft document,
yes,
a Word document or whatever the case is,
yes,
right? And then you did what? You send that to an editor,
yes.
And where'd you find this editor? How do you find editors?
There's editors waiting for you to contact them all around the world, Ruckus. You have some. You write something.
Yeah.
There are editors all there. There's Upwork. There's Fiverr. There are a lot of local editors as well too. You could just Google, I need an editor,
mm,
and you ship it out. You find out what their price is, and they will edit your book
and the next step after that will be getting it published.
So luckily, like music, we could self-publish,
right?
So Liberate, which is the logo that you see at the bottom of the book,
right,
that's my company.
Okay.
Right, so it's a personal development company. It's more of a background company. I'm not doing the social media pages and all those, yeah, different things.
It's a publishing house.
So it's a publishing house.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I registered a publishing company, and so I have other products that I'm about to release as well too, other than the book.
Right.
Right, so there are other tools that I've created, some fun tools, mm-hmm, that people could use to do personal development in relationships and, you know, in personal development and stuff like that. I'm really excited about that. I'll check you.
Excitement.
I'll check you when that is.
I'm gonna ask you about that when you come back from the playway break. Don't worry about that. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Mugbaru is here with us in studio for the Saturday brunch this morning, chatting about his new book, Ready Mindset Go. We haven't actually spoken about the book properly yet.
Yes.
But we will do that when we come back.
With Ruckus, in case you don't have a clue, this is the voice of Mr. Shaq that is singing to you. Good music, great conversation, the best program on the best station. So now that you know, there's nowhere else to go, so please don't touch your radio.
I know you didn't touch your radio because you're here with us still on Talk City 91.1 FM. And I am here in studio still with Jesse McBarrow, author of Ready, Mindset, Go. Now, Jesse, let's get into the book.
Yes, let's go right
so we talk about it. We talk about your the path that led to being able to put together this body of work. But what actually is in here? I see 10 mindset hurdles that you'll be jumping over like an athlete.
Yes. All right. So, again, thanks again for having me a part of the show. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Of course.
And I know we did share a lot of what transpired before the book, right? So, creatively, the book is a simulation of a hurdle race.
Okay.
So I believe that everyone are athletes, you know, in their mindset, mm-hmm. right? And to get to the finish line of your goals, your dreams, your aspiration, the things that you want to actually accomplish, the things that God tell you you need to do, there are hurdles between the starting line and the finish line.
Right.
And I don't want those hurdles to catch anybody by surprise anymore. Right. So from the starting line to the finish line, I identified 10 hurdles and I could call them out real briefly here. Right. So the hurdle of starting, the hurdle of time.
Just now, let me break down each one as we go through. Right. We have 10 of them.
Let's do that.
We have 10 of them. Right.
Let's do that.
So the hurdle of starting. Yes. Oftentimes, I mean, I am guilty of this one. Right.
Yes.
Where I have an idea and it's like, all right, I know what I want to do. You know, like, I know the idea there and I could see the finish line.
Yes.
But what's the first thing I need to do to get this off the ground?
Finish it. You have to finish before you start. I know that is not the answer you was looking for, Rockers.
This man not even making sense no more. He never making sense no more. How finish it before I start?
Like I said, right? I have to laugh because, as I said earlier, a lot of people think you have to write a book to become an author.
Right.
And I'm saying you have to become an author to write a book.
So right. How I finish it before I start?
Right. So whatever the goal is, I do something called mind mapping, and mm-hmm. that's why you need a mindset coach.
Right.
Right. So I can't go into it in full.
Unless they pay you.
Yeah. So guys, reach out to me, 363-7070. I would help you finish the race before you even start it.
Nice.
Right. So
nice.
Mind mapping is getting all your ideas, all your thoughts, everything that you need to get to the finish line. You need to get it out. You need to create a strategic plan. You need to create an action plan. Mm-hmm. You need to do all these things. Create an accountability team and all those different things. And when you get that done, then you can begin the race.
So I need a strategic plan and accountability plan.
You need accountability partner. You need
partner.
You
need somebody who will hold you accountable.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You need a coach.
Right.
Right. No. You ever heard of Glenn Mills? I'm sure you.
The name sounds familiar.
Glenn Mills is actually Usain Bolt's coach.
Mindset coach or his coach?
No,
coach?
His actual coach.
All right, go ahead.
Right, so he's actually his coach.
Right.
Usain Bolt, being a high performer, he's the greatest athlete of all time.
Facts.
Right, he's the fastest runner. It'll be very difficult to beat his time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I'm sure somebody,
some freak of nature, going to
just, I don't know, have wings or something, right? And get it done. I don't
know.
They
have some coming up. They have some coming up already.
Yes, well, we're keeping our eyes open, mm-hmm. right? Hopefully we see that in our lifetime.
I'm sure we might. We have some life ahead of we hope.
I like your optimism.
Yeah.
But we all could agree, undoubtedly, Usain Bolt is one of the greatest athletes mm-hmm. of all time. But he still have a coach.
Of course.
He still has a coach. He still needs a
coach.
But
that's how we became one of the greatest athletes of all
exactly.
time.
Exactly. So what I like to tell people, before they come into our container for coaching, do you see yourself as somebody accomplishing the things that you know that you could accomplish, those dreams and those aspirations? Why don't you have a coach? If the best of the best mm-hmm. of the world in all those different areas of their expertise, Tiger Woods, Serena Williams, Stephen Curry.
But I would find it difficult to compare myself to these people only because I feel as though it's different disciplines.
Yes, it's right? different.
So
yes.
You don't often hear about Michael Jackson's coach. Who was Michael Jackson's coach?
Well,
who was Bob Marley's coach?
They all had people. They all had a team.
Right.
So even presidents have a team.
Well, yeah.
You know, so it's impossible, right, to actually reach to the peak
right.
of your goals, self-actualize without a team, without a coach, without a second, third, fourth pair of eyes.
Right.
Because while my back might be turned here, and I'm facing in this direction, who's seeing what's going on behind me?
Right.
But I can't see what's going on behind me, but somebody who is probably to the left of me, to the right of me, mm-hmm. behind me, could see. And they could detect those things and say, hey, Jesse, pause.
Right.
So Stephen Curry, again, one of the greatest basketballers of all time,
mm-hmm.
even on a good day, his coach will say, hey, rest.
Right.
We need it for the next quarter. Because he has foresight.
Of course, of course.
So while Stephen Curry is in the game, he needs somebody at the sideline saying, all right, I've seen how the game is playing. Because Steph Curry is not seeing what's going on.
He can't see the whole picture.
He can't see the whole picture.
Right.
So I would challenge anybody, right? If you have a burning goal or desire or dream, one of the things you should be looking for is a team. That rhyme, right?
You are a songwriter, sir.
Right? That rhyme. So I would challenge everybody, get a team. And that's, remember, we spoke about survival, stability, success, significance.
Right.
Right. And I guess we could touch on it yeah. just a little bit. Right. I know we're still on starting. Right. But I'm on a flow right now.
We're on all of them right now at this point. Because right. it's a general mindset that you need to be able to approach anything that you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. So the first hurdle is starting.
Yes.
And you had to finish before you start, apparently.
Yes.
The next
yes.
hurdle is time.
Time management. So time management, there's a sensitivity to time that a lot of people don't realize. So mm-hmm. Aristotle say that time is a stubborn illusion.
I mean, people often leave out the stubborn part. Time is just an illusion.
Yeah. It's a stubborn illusion because it's something that keeps ticking. We on the clock right now.
Yeah.
But is it real?
It's
is
not.
It actually?
No.
You know what I mean? The sun rising, the sun setting enters into a new day. But our time biologically is that we could see ourselves getting
older. Yeah.
We could see the grays mm-hmm. happening as time progresses. But
I find you rub your beard in a very specific way there when you said grays, right. As though it's me referring to.
No. I have Rockers, I have grays. I am embracing my grays now. I was fighting it before, but yeah. I'm embracing it today.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah.
The next hurdle is the hurdle of environment.
So we touch on it.
The same thing with the plants, right?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
You need the community around you. You need the right people to feed into.
I have a problem with this hurdle.
Go for it.
The problem I have with this hurdle is, how do I get someone to say that they're going to change their environment? For example, let's say a student,
mm-hmm.
a young student coming up, because you're talking about, we mentioned the plants, right?
Yes.
So at this point, you're growing, you're developing,
yes.
right? And you're in this particular environment that is stifling you.
Yes.
An environment that is dangerous, an environment that might even be deadly.
Yes.
Right? But certainly toxic.
Yes.
But this is where you're born and grew.
Mm-hmm.
This is where your parents are.
Mm-hmm.
This you are under 18,
mm-hmm.
or even in your early 20s, for example, you don't have the funds to be able to move out
yes.
and go live on your own. How do I change my environment? How do I get over this hurdle of environment?
I love that question, Rufus.
Well, thank you.
I love it.
Thank you very much.
Let me first say this. There are two types of environment. There's an internal environment and there's an external environment.
All right.
So what I've discovered, especially working in a university, there are people that are in the right environment externally,
mm-hmm.
but internally they have a poor environment internally.
Mm.
So we like to, we pay attention to the environment that we could see in the physical realm, right? In the physical paradigm, but there's an internal paradigm that could be affecting us even more than the external environment. But let me say this, the external environment can and will influence your internal environment. But there are things that you could do, like reading a book,
mm-hmm.
that could change your internal environment. And we are the only creatures on earth that could change our circumstances by just changing the way that we think.
We can change our circumstances by changing the way that we think.
Yes.
Tell me more.
So let's put it this way.
It's like the law of attraction.
It's like the law of attraction, but there are perspectives that you could start introducing to your paradigm that could change the way that you look at things. Because for your entire life, you could see yourself as a victim of your skin color.
Perfect example.
Right? You could say, because I'm this skin color
yeah.
or this skin tone, I'm not going to identify whatever tone. I am more susceptible to this.
Right.
So I am naturally a victim to that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look around, we could see people overcoming the most with whatever skin complexion they have.
But why them and not me?
That's an internal thing. That's an internal thing.
No, but I trying hard. I trying everything, right? Mm-hmm. I trying and they getting through and I not getting through. It's always something about me that they don't like.
Right.
So that's the same victim mentality we're talking about, right?
That's a victim mentality.
How do we change that? Because if it is that you've been seeing this happening, mm-hmm. let's say I come to work here and I know me and how she name start at the same time.
Yes.
Both of we same tone.
Yes.
Same skin color. So it's not that, right? Yes. Both of we same skin color, everything. So I go say to myself, well, if it is I see that she gets in progress and I not get in progress and we have the same job, we're doing the same thing, I feel like I even feel like I'm doing it better than she.
Yeah.
But she moving up in her career, mm-hmm. and I feel as though I am still stagnant in mine. Right? That happens in a lot of workplaces.
Yes.
You know? How do I, what is the mentality change that I need to get to be able to say, well, I'm glad that she moving up.
Yes.
And let me see how I can move up. Even though I've been trying, I'm trying to move up.
Yes.
But I'm feeling like I'm getting stuck, like I have the ceiling, glass ceiling that I can't get over.
Ruckus, you're asking all the right questions. I love try. This interview. Thank you to all your listeners. Listen, Ruckus is the real deal. He's the real deal. Would you say that although Frederick Street and Henry Street is right next to each other, it's two completely different streets?
Well, of course.
Right. So it's two completely different streets.
Right.
There's an internal environment and then there's an external environment. That comparison, which is a little bit later mm-hmm. in the book.
Okay,
right?
So comparison is another
It's hurdle. A hurdle. Ah. The hurdle of comparison.
Okay. Right?
I've recognized, Ruckus, that in my journey, especially even as a musician and whatnot, when I got into the music industry, I could not compare myself to anybody. The moment I tried to do that and started doing that,
mm-hmm.
I started to become a victim.
Mm.
Instantly. I had to start to create my own essence, my own flow, my own being. When I left Trinidad, went to California, and I was a completely different human being. I was a different experience happening. I went to the Philippines. I was a completely different experience happening in the Philippines. I could not walk through the mall, Ruckus, without children and chefs and all these business owners running out of their place of work to take pictures of me.
Why are they taking pictures of you?
I don't know. Just because of my look. Just because of my
Arasta man.
Yeah. I had a secret. I was a missionary in the Philippines with a security. I had somebody literally, hey, all right, just give him a break. Just give him some space. Give him some space. Children were running to in the hundreds.
Very interesting.
So that changes your perspective.
But my challenge to your comparison argument would be that you're saying don't compare yourself to other people, right?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I mean, you're doing work, right? And you're competing in an environment, in a society. So, you know, they also say steel sharpens steel.
Yes.
So if you find people who are doing what you're doing and you're able to work with them or to compare yourself against them, sometimes, like, I can't lie to you, Jesse.
Yeah.
Sometimes, bad mind is the greatest motivator.
Bad mind,
sometimes
right?
The bad mind is the greatest. Right. So I see another personality or somebody do something and I say, nah. They can't do that better than me.
No, they can't.
And I coming out here to do that better than them because I compare myself to them.
Them, yes.
And I saying this, no, they can't be better than me and I end up with a better output, a better product just because I saying, I want to stay one step ahead of you.
Yes.
And I imagine that, I mean, like a man like Bolt, when you compare it, we talk about Bolt just now, right? A man like Bolt, you know, at first, he would have been looking around to see who was next to him and all that kind of thing. But after a while now, he knew he's in front of everybody.
Yes.
So there's no need to look around. But when you get into that point, you're going to compare yourself. You're going to watch your competitors. You're going to want to challenge them.
Yes. But Usain Bolt's only competition has been himself.
No. When he was running in champs and thing, he had competition.
Yes, he had competition, but that's his external environment.
Right. So internally, you're saying the only competition internally is yourself.
Is yourself. And mind you, like, this is a very complicated conversation to have if we don't talk about all the other elements.
Right.
Favoritism. We know that some people get into environments for different reasons.
Nepotism.
And that is why that is why the hurdle of comparison is something that you definitely have to pay attention to. Because the reason why I'm sitting here on this, there are some people trying to sit down right here. But there are some people saying, oh my God, I've been trying to reach the Rockers. I wish I could get on that. I wish I could sit down and have an interview. Right, but the circumstances of me getting here is different from for somebody else,
right?
You know, so don't compare yourself to me. Don't say, hey, look, Jesse sitting down at that table there, I should, you know, I have a better book, I have you know, the circumstances is different.
Yeah,
you know, so I would rather somebody say, okay, I am giving my best, I am doing my best. Who my approval and disapproval come from, it doesn't matter. As long as I approve myself, as long as I validate myself.
You know, what does that say for quality control, Jesse? Because you will end up with people who believe in themselves, right?
Yes.
And I'm not just arguing with you for argument's sake. Eh?
No. I'm glad.
There are people who believe in themselves and they put out something, but it's not good quality.
Yeah.
It's not. And I say that comparatively, right?
Yes.
I say that against what else there is in the world. So you could believe in yourself as much as you want. If your quality is not up to par, how do you get over that little?
Rockers. Let me say this. Rockers, you're not going to like this statement. Not everybody care about quality.
What? And this is the problem we have in society today.
Yes, that is the problem. Yes, it's the problem. But it's a problem for you.
How you mean?
For other people, it's not a... Okay, so...
No, this is the trigger. Is a domino effect, right?
Yes.
Because the minute we started accepting, for example,
yes.
This is a horrible example.
Yes.
But the minute we started accepting mediocre soca music,
oh gosh,
the minute we did, the minute it was okay for Iowa George to come and say, ha na 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 na. No, I just saying, right?
Right.
It begins a downward spiral, right?
Yes.
Because some people don't understand that what Iowa George doing there was something that he took time to be able to perfect and do.
Yes.
And some people would just take it and they would say, if he could do that stupidness and in quote unquote stupidness, that they could come and do whatever they want now.
Yes.
And we end up in a situation where we are today, where all the songs sound the same and they have no depth.
Yes.
Or very few of them have any depth.
Yes.
And we say, well, yeah, there's party music. And it's like, no. When Super Blue was doing party music, it was very, very social commentary.
Yes.
It was very much political commentary. It happened to have partiness in it.
Yes.
And it was built for a party, but it was still social commentary.
Yes.
And we've lost a lot of that. Because we stopped asking for top quality.
Yes.
We stop guarding the quality, and that's why I'm talking about when I say quality control.
No, Rockers, that is our argument that we can't go into, because some people, and this is, you know, this is to be true, as much as people love me and love what I do, there are some spaces that I will not get into because I'm out here.
Right.
Because I have locks.
Yeah.
They will say, hey, I like what he's saying, but I'm not going to bring him into my space because he have locks.
Right.
Right? So what appeals to some people will not, just everybody have different demands, everybody have different requirements, and unfortunately the masses may not care about quality.
Because the M must be silent in masses. That is why.
All right, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave that. Listen, Rockers, that's why comparison, because as I said, right, although I have locks, and a lot of people might reject me, I sat down with a lot of millennials. I sat down with politicians. I sat down with therapists. I coach therapists.
Mm-hmm.
I coach people who have doctorates. I coach people who are high performing people. You know what I mean? I can't call their names,
some of those things.
But I'm telling you, for the amount of people that might reject me, there are a lot of people I'm able to sit with and help them get to the things that they need to get to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Some of the other hurdles I see here include the hurdles of choices.
Yes.
Is it that you have to get over having too many options?
Right. Well, I want to say this. I'm going to drop this. Guys, buy this book. Right? There are two things that I really want to emphasize on, especially with the hurdle of choices.
Mm-hmm.
Good, and this statement, you all take this statement and run with it, right? Have to take this. You all may not like this, right? There's a difference between a good choice, a bad choice, and a right choice.
Mm.
A good choice is a delayed bad choice if it's not the right choice.
A good choice is a delayed bad choice if it's not the right choice. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
A lot of people looking for a good choice.
But how you know if it's the right choice?
But that's a whole other conversation.
So
by
it might end up all with a delay.
All it starts after a line. And you will get a lot closer to the right choice if you have the right community.
Mm. Jesse, tell us how we can get the book.
All right. So you all could reach out to me at hello@jessemcbarrow.com. That is hello@jessiemcbarrow.com. Mm. Or you could just WhatsApp me, 363-7070. You could call me at that number, 363-7070.
Can I remember one more time just to make sure they're writing it down?
Right. So get to my social
phone.
Media platform.
Get
okay.
Phone. Get them the phone number. Phone. Get them the phone
363-7070. You all could call me or WhatsApp me at that number.
And how much is the book?
The book is $200 and I will sign it and hand deliver it to you.
Fantastic. Jesse, thank you so much for joining us
this morning. It was indeed a pleasure, Rockers. I know this would not be the last time.
Definitely. We have more books in the works.
Yeah, definitely.
And you tell me you have more things. You have more things.
Yeah, I have another book I'm working on right now, presently.
All right, so we're looking forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Jesse.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your listeners.
Congratulations on Ready Mindset Go.
Yes.
Yeah? Or call Jesse and get a book, 363-7070, yeah?
Yes.
Follow him on social media everywhere. What's the handle?
Jesse, JESSIEMCBARROW on all social media platforms.